What do you think is the most ancient title given to the mother of Jesus? Well, the answer is actually advocate. That in the second century, St. Irenaeus called Mary an advocate, actually an advocate for Eve, the first mother of the living. We want to understand what this ancient title means and what significance it has for us today. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, professor of theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And in our Mariology series, we've been talking about Mary's spiritual motherhood in general, and then the ways that she, in fact, enacts her spiritual motherhood for us. And we talked about how Mary is a mother suffering, like all good mothers have to suffer for their children. This is her role as the co-redemptrix, the woman with Jesus who works and suffers and loves with Jesus to bring forth the obtaining of the graces of salvation. The mother of suffering, the co-redemptrix. Secondly, we talked about her role as mediatrix, and indeed mediatrix of all graces. She's the mother nourishing in the spiritual order. Just like our mothers would nourish us physically, Mary is going to nourish us in the spiritual order as the spiritual mother of all peoples, and as the Second Vatican Council teaches in Lumen Gentium 61, a mother to us in the order of grace. Well, now there's a third way that Mary is spiritual mother to you and to me as a personal gift from Jesus Christ from the cross to you and to me when he says, behold your mother. And this is her role as advocate. We can call an advocate the mother pleading or the mother helping. When we talk about Mary as an advocate, we go back to the title, and the title again from the second century, from the Latin term advocare, which means to speak on behalf of someone. To advoco is to speak for someone. That's why in many languages the word advocate is also the word that's used for lawyer. But before we get into advocacy in more detail, I want to talk about the advocate, the third aspect in light of the other two. So bear with me as I try to give you a little bit more cohesion about how this one spiritual mother does these three tasks. For example, we're talking about an element of Mary as co-redemptrix, and in this task as co-redemptrix, we're discussing, again, a suffering, a mother who's truly undergoing suffering on our behalf. So you can see that kind of, if you would picture a circle in your mind, on the top of the circle is Mary with Jesus at Calvary. And then as the circle goes down to humanity, to us, that's Mary's role as the mediatrix of all graces. She's taking the graces from Jesus at Calvary, acquired as co-redemptrix, but she's applying it to our human hearts. And that's the second dimension. She's interceding in bringing the graces from Jesus down to us, humanity, down here. But there's a third part of that circle, and that's the part that connects humanity back to Jesus. So, co-redemptrix at the top of the circle with Jesus, mediatrix, she's mediating the graces to us. But now, what about bringing our prayers back to Jesus? What about that third aspect of her motherly mediation in connecting Jesus, her first son, with all the rest of us, her children? That is her role as advocate. It's connecting the third part of the circle from humanity back to Jesus in a way that says, Mary is serving us as mother in all dimensions, in bringing the graces merited by Jesus and by her as co-redemptrix to us as a mediatrix, but also taking our needs and bringing our needs to the throne of Christ the King. And to really understand this, let's go to the sources of Revelation. We have to talk about where in Scripture, tradition, the magisterium, do we have this role as advocate? Well, I mentioned before that while it's the most ancient title, its seeds, its foundations, its foreshadowings really brings us back to the Old Testament. And I want to talk about an image in the Old Testament that was actually a major role in the kingdoms of David, in the line of the Davidic kings from David down to Jesus. And the role was called the Gebira. That's the Hebrew word for what we would call the Queen Mother. Now, the Gebira, the Queen Mother, had a function in the kingdom of David. And it was fundamentally twofold. Number one, she was the principal intercessor from the people of God in the Davidic kingdom to the king. So if you wanted access to the king, you couldn't go yourself. You would go, if you were a common person, you would go to the queen mother. And the queen mother would be the principal advocate for you to the king, if she so chose to bring forth your petition or your need. The second task of the Gabira, which literally means the great lady, was to indeed take care of the dynastic succession, what we would call today choosing the next ruler. The queen mother, and this is important because it tells us this wasn't an honorary title, this was a title with tremendous import for the Jewish kingdom, that the queen mother was the person who ultimately said, if anything happened to her son, who would be the next king? Well, as you can understand, this is a massively important role for any kingdom. And that tells us that while the queen mother was always subordinate to the king, she had a throne on the right side of the king. And you can look this up in scripture in 1 Kings 2:19. Next to Solomon was the throne of Bathsheba. And Solomon says to Bathsheba, ask anything you want, mother, because I will deny you nothing. That was the intercessory power of the queen mother. So let's go from David and bring it to the time of the New Testament. What happens at Luke 1:28 and following? You have an angel appearing to a 15-year-old girl. She happens to be an immaculate girl, and she happens to be God's masterpiece. But what's taking place is an angel comes, and essentially the angel says, I invite you to become the mother of the new king in the order of David. I invite you to say yes to becoming the mother of God made man, and your offspring will take the throne of his father, David. So what do we have? Well, we have a new king who we all know to be the King of Kings, and we have, because of a new king in the line of David, we have a new queen mother. And in the Old Testament, the queen mother, again, was not one of the wives. Solomon, for example, had 700 wives, but it was his mother who had the role of the queen mother, the role of the major advocate in the family of Israel, in the kingdom. Well, so too here, if we have a new king, and he happens to be the king of kings, and his kingdom is universal, that means we have a new Gabira. We have a new queen mother. We have a new great lady. And what's her role going to be? Her role is going to be the principal intercessor, the principal advocate for the people to the king. And that's why in Revelation 12, you have a woman with a crown of 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of the Old Testament. She is the king, she is the queen in the kingdom of God. That means her intercessory power is as profound and as universal as is the kingdom of her son. Well, we know that the kingdom of Jesus is universal. It's without limit. And therefore, so too, by way of intercession, is the role of Mary as advocate. So we're now getting to the heart of why indeed Scripture testifies that Mary is the advocate for the people of God. For two reasons. First of all, she's the mother of the new king. Secondly, she is the great lady. She's the Gabira. And that's why she goes to Elizabeth in Scripture. Elizabeth says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That expression, mother of my Lord, is an expression used for the Gabira in the Old Testament. This is profound and beautiful. What it tells us is the Blessed Mother is advocate for the church, for the world, but she's advocate for you and me in the midst of each and every one of our needs. Thanks for being with us at MaryCast. More on Our Lady's role as advocate. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli saying, God bless.